We're talking about electronics recycling on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. E-Cycle Wisconsin launched a little over a decade ago, born out of the state law that bans disposing of many types of electronics in our state landfills and incinerators. The goal being to prevent pollution from toxic materials and to conserve resources. Hundreds of millions of pounds of electronics have been recycled through the program. Are you wondering how to get rid of some old devices? What do you need help on? Are you wondering about collection sites around the state? It's 800-642-1234. Sarah Murray is coordinator of E-Cycle Wisconsin, the statewide manufacturer-funded program that recycles certain electronics used in homes and schools. Sarah, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what impact has the pandemic had on electronics recycling? What have you seen out there?
For the pandemic, I think the biggest impact we saw was last spring when we had the Safer at Home order and other shutdowns. Spring is often a very busy time for electronics collection events, and so we saw quite a few of those canceled or postponed. A lot of municipalities or others that operated drop-off sites took a pause, but I would say by and large, we see stuff back up and running as normal now. Maybe there's some extra safety precautions in place, but things have gotten a little bit more back to normal in terms of electronics collection.
Yeah, so you would see that things are picking up back now on e-cycling.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, as you step back here and explain the program to us, E-Cycle Wisconsin, how does it work and what is it, you know, give us a little bit of sense of how it works.
Sure. So as you mentioned, in the state in September 2010, a disposal ban went into effect on many types of consumer electronics like TVs and computers, printers, other accessories, and cell phones. And E-Cycle Wisconsin was set up to help households and many K-12 schools have more access to convenient and lower cost electronics recycling. So under the program, manufacturers of TVs, computers, monitors, and printers, in order to sell those products in the state, have to register and they have to help recycle a certain number of pounds of electronics in the state each year. So that's sort of the back end of it. What most consumers would see, most households, is there's a network of close to 400 permanent sites and a lot of one-day collection events throughout the state where you can take your electronics, you drop them off, the collector will send them on to a recycling facility that takes them apart, processes them, dismantles, and they're able to recycle, I would say, more than 90% in most cases of what's in those electronics. So that's what actually happens physically, the electronics getting taken apart into different metals and plastics and glass so they can be used in new materials.
Yeah, how can you make sure that that is happening, that the retailer or the collection site will do the right thing, that these devices are going to a certified recycler that meets environmental standards?
Yeah, it's always good to ask some questions. And what we found over the years is when people are doing the right thing, they are usually quite open about it. They can tell you, you know, where the electronics are going, what's happening to them. For E-Cycle Wisconsin, the collection sites that are participating have to register with the DNR. They do reporting to us and we check the paperwork. We also do inspections of a sampling of the sites each year. And then the recyclers, there's about 15 recyclers, about half of them in the state, that are part of the program. And again, they have to register with us. They have to meet several standards, especially in terms of what they're doing with the materials. And then we do inspections of the facilities, particularly the in-state ones as well. So with the E-Cycle Wisconsin program, it's not a complete guarantee, but so we're the Department of Natural Resources, I guess, just to make clear, and we are doing our best to check to help ensure that things are being handled properly through the program.
I wonder, with China recently stopping acceptance of toxic e-waste, what does that mean for breaking down these materials, and what does that mean for recycling?
Sure. Well, under the program, the materials have always been dismantled here in the U.S. That's
okay.
Not to say that there aren't illegal exports of materials happening from this country. There aren't problems overseas, but we have several large high-tech recyclers in the state that handle you know, tens, if not hundreds of millions of pounds a year of electronics. And so that's something for folks to know, is there is a lot going on here as well. Some of the recent impacts from actions China has taken, there's also a new international treaty in place limiting exports of plastic materials. Some of that has been more on the commodity end, because even when electronics were taken apart here, a lot of times the commodities, especially the plastics, were being shipped overseas. And so now we're finding people looking for more domestic markets, investing in more equipment here to process the plastics to a higher quality that can go more directly into new products.
Sarah Murray is with us, coordinator of eCycle Wisconsin. That's a statewide program that helps people recycle their electronics. Are you trying to get rid of certain electronic devices? Which ones have been sitting in that corner of your home? What is holding you back? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We heard from Chrisley from Menasha, wrote to note that, you know, she keeps piling her old electronics in her basement and in her garage. And she jokes that when she dies in 40 years, it will be someone else's problem. And I'm wondering, Sarah, what impact does that have if you just keep putting it off, putting it somewhere, piling it up?
It's super common. So first of all, they're not alone. Our most recent household survey in 2018 found about 9.3 million unused devices, just counting TVs, computers, and cell phones in people's homes. And I think almost everybody, you know, I've talked to has some cell phones in a drawer or a TV in a basement or in the garage. So first of all, it's very common. I think what we'd like people to think about is, yeah, you may hang on to things for a little while longer. Maybe you think you're going to reuse them, but when you're done with something or it's time to do some clean out, to be prepared for that and know what to do. So first of all, you want to think about your devices that have data on them. So computers and phones, and what you're going to need to do to get maybe data off of them and to potentially do some data wiping on them. And then think about where you might want to take them. So like I said, there's a network of collection sites around the state. On the DNR's website, you can find that list and also find potentially some manufacturer mailback programs for your smaller devices. When you have some smaller devices like cell phones and tablets, you may also be able to find trade-in programs. So that's one advantage to trying to recycle them sooner rather than later, is there may still be some value left in some of those.
So finding a retailer that might have a trade-in program. How are cell phones e-cycled? Can you give us a little peek into how that works?
Yeah, so for cell phones and some of these other smaller devices, when they get to a recycling facility, one thing they need to do is, well, first of all, most recyclers will look to see if they can refurbish and reuse a device, because that is more valuable from an economic standpoint, and it's more valuable from conserving resources, right? If we can keep using the cell phone for a little while longer, then we have to make fewer new cell phones. If it's something where it's broken or it's too out of date, they'll need to remove the battery. That's becoming a bigger and bigger issue with our small, lightweight devices. They're powered by lithium-ion batteries that are usually perfectly safe when they're in the device, but if they are crushed or punctured or, you know, something else during a recycling process, they can spark and cause fires. Mm-hmm. So a recycler will carefully remove the battery, maybe remove other components that can be reused. And then a lot of these facilities have large shredders that can help separate all the different plastics and metals into the commodity streams. They might use magnets to pull out steel, and eddy currents to separate aluminum, optical sorters to sort different kinds of plastics. So once they've removed anything hazardous like a battery, they'll often do shredding to get all those different commodities ready to be made into new things.
Sarah Murray is coordinator of eCycle Wisconsin. We're learning about how electronics recycling works for residents and schools in our state. Have you recently recycled an electronic device, possibly a computer or a tablet, a smartphone? Where did you go? Do you see old TVs on the curb and wonder if they get to the right place? Join in, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Sarah Murray on the Ideas Network. We're learning how to correctly and safely recycle old electronics, devices that aren't in use anymore. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. There is a ton of it. If you lined up all the unused computers stored in Wisconsin homes, they would stretch from Madison to Nashville, Tennessee. That factoid courtesy of eCycle Wisconsin and Sarah Murray, who coordinates the program. Do you work in electronics manufacturing? How do you recycle your materials and waste? Are you a recycling company that takes in electronics? Which materials do you accept and why? Join in on all aspects of eCycling, 800-642-1234. Sarah Murray is with us for the hour. Sarah, you know, just that the idea that you could stretch computers from Madison to Nashville is so telling that there is so much waste out there.
Right. There's a lot of electronics, and it has been increasing. I mean, if you do an inventory of what you have in your own home compared to 10 or especially 20 years ago, it is a little bit mind-boggling sometimes. And we tend to hang on to them. You know, we spend a lot of money when we buy them, and we want to make sure that they're handled properly at the end of their lives. So it makes sense that we have a lot stored, but we hope people can figure out how to recycle them safely when they're ready to.
The DNR is working on a rules change on clarifying policies under the eCycle Wisconsin program and is accepting public comments until next month. Can you explain what the rules change is?
Sure. So one thing we've learned over the years with electronics is they're quite a bit different from a lot of other recyclable materials. They're very complex. They have many different types of materials in each device, so it's not as simple as, you know, a soda can or a plastic bottle. There's, you know, sometimes literally hundreds of different materials in them. Some electronics also contain hazardous materials. So those big old heavy picture tube TVs have several pounds of lead embedded in the glass. And a lot of the first and second generation flat panel TVs and monitors had or they're lit by very thin fluorescent tubes that contain mercury. Mm-hmm. That's in addition to the lithium batteries I mentioned that can cause fires. There's other chemicals and heavy metals. So we want them handled very responsibly is a goal. And one thing we found over the years is sometimes, especially outside of the eCycle Wisconsin program, there might be people thinking that they can just take in electronics to pull out the metals, make a little bit of money and scrap metal, and then the rest, you know, just leave them. And we've had a few very large cases of people abandoning the hazardous components in electronics. So one of our goals for the rulemaking is just to put more sort of guideposts in place for those handling electronics to make sure they're doing it responsibly. Make sure that people who are recycling them, if they were to go out of business, there wouldn't be a mess left over. There'd be money left over to clean it up. So that's a big goal in the rulemaking. We're also just trying to make sure the eCycle Wisconsin program works a little bit better. It was put in place over a decade ago, and it has worked very well, but there's some things that have changed in the nature of electronics and just the world of electronics recycling. And so we're trying to make sure that it functions well for everybody and can hopefully continue on as a strong program.
What has changed that would make you have to shift gears a bit in how you deliver this program?
Well, the biggest thing that's changed is just the electronics themselves. When the law was being crafted in, say, 2008, 2009, it was signed in 2009, hardly anybody had smartphones, you know, and we had just sort of gone through that big switch from the CRT TVs to some of the flat panel ones. Now we see so many more electronics ubiquitous in our lives, a lot of smaller devices powered by those lithium-ion batteries. We've seen fewer hazardous materials in the new electronics, but we're still dealing with a lot of those old, you know, electronics contain lead and mercury. So that's a big part of it. Things have changed. We've also seen the technologies for recycling change. There have been a lot of improvements, a lot of automation, but then there's new challenges like the batteries that still require a lot of, you know, hand disassembly and manual labor. It can't all just be processed by machines compared to the way maybe some other recyclables are handled.
You touched on this briefly, but how much of an issue is it for people to just destroy an electronic device like a TV, you know, strip it for parts and leave it basically the other pieces for, you know, garbage collection?
Yeah, it can be a risk. It can be a risk to the environment. It can be a risk to workers in the, the waste handling industry. So the old TVs with the leaded glass, if that gets broken up and gets into the soil, it can cause contamination. Certainly, mercury is something, mercury vapor in bulbs, you really don't want to be exposed to that, and that can really linger in materials if it's released. So that's why we want these handled safely and properly. At a high-tech facility that uses all of the great PPE, personal protective equipment for their employees. They have monitoring equipment to make sure that they're not causing pollution by trying to recycle these materials.
We're discussing how to recycle electronic devices with Sarah Murray, who leads eCycle Wisconsin, which is run through the DNR. What questions do you have about recycling electronics? What do you not understand? What is building up with a device in your home that you wish to dispose of? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sarah, let's look at those big appliances like your stoves and your refrigerators, dishwashers. What options do you have there for getting these materials to a collection site?
Yeah, it can be a little confusing because the eCycle Wisconsin program is this one specific program set up to recycle certain types of electronics, mostly TVs and computer equipment. That doesn't mean those are the only devices with electronics that can and should be recycled. So Wisconsin's recycling law, actually the earlier recycling law that also requires recycling of things like newspaper and cardboard, also banned many of those large appliances from disposal. And many of them are very recyclable. I mean, there's a lot of metal still in a lot of those big appliances. There are a few hazards in them, particularly in devices that do cooling, right? So like a refrigerator, freezer, air conditioning unit, dehumidifier, those contain Freon. And so we want to make sure those are handled very carefully by folks that are used to dealing with that. Those aren't necessarily recycled at the same places as your computer or your TV, although in some cases they might be. A lot of scrap yards can take them. A lot of local governments may have programs. So it's always good for those. The DNR doesn't have a centralized list on our website, unlike we do for other electronics. So checking with your local community or local scrap yards is great. Another thing to keep in mind, both for appliances and electronics, is a good time to think about what you need to get rid of is when you're looking to buy something new, because mm-hmm. a lot of retailers have haul away programs. So especially for large appliances, but sometimes also for TVs, other things that are heavy. I know my family has them. Others have some of those really heavy, like first generation HD TVs. Mm-hmm. If you're thinking of upgrading, maybe check in and see if there's a retailer that might be willing to haul that away. And same with appliances. Because I know for these, a lot of these issues are, you've got that washing machine in the basement. There's no way you can get that out yourself. You might need help with that.
Well, let's bring in a call now. Kathleen is joining us from Oregon. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi. You may have just answered my question, but I was wondering about those small household appliances like a coffee maker, an old hot plate. I have a few things like that stashed away trying to figure out what to do with them. What about the small appliances? Is that the same as the large ones you just described?
Sure. So there's a couple differences. Just in terms of state law, the things that are specifically banned from disposal are those large appliances and then the electronics like the TVs, computers, those accessories, and cell phones. So a lot of smaller appliances are not specifically banned from the trash. What I would recommend is checking with your local government or a local scrap yard to see which of those they'll take. A lot of those, small appliances may still have metal and other recyclable components in them, and they may take them, but it's good to double check. And again, with any of these, they shouldn't just go in like a curbside recycling cart or bin that a lot of us have. They go to a different facility than, say, the cans and bottles and paper, and those facilities aren't set up to handle electronics. Those facilities tend to be very automated, and so they can't handle these things of different sizes and with different components.
What about in the garage, like old lawnmowers or snow blowers? What would your suggestions be there?
Yeah, so the first thing I think about is, does it have a battery? So I know there's more and more, certainly with tools for quite a while, but more and more of, say, lawn equipment that have lithium batteries. Those are things you definitely don't want to put in the trash because of the fire risk. I would again check with, depending on whether your local government has a recycling drop-off site that may take these. Otherwise, talk with scrap metal yards, especially a lot of that lawn equipment and tools. They can be very recyclable, but they just might not be handled. They wouldn't be handled, for example, at the same place that's taking apart TVs and computers.
Sarah Murray leads the eCycle Wisconsin program that makes recycling easier for consumers, but there's still so much work to be done. What do you want to know about e-waste and heavy metals and old cell phones and such? What do you want to know about what happens when you dispose of your old electronics through a recycling program? Join in on any aspect of the cycle, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up with Sarah Murray after a news update on the Ideas Network. We're talking about electronics recycling in Wisconsin, the eCycle Wisconsin program for homes and schools. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This work is vital for the sustainability of our planet. Recycling 1 million laptops saves the energy required to power more than 3,500 homes in our country each year. That's stat from the EPA, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. We have Sarah Murray, who is coordinator of eCycle Wisconsin, taking your questions. Let's bring in Melissa now in Menominee Falls. Hi, Melissa. Go ahead.
Hi. I've done a lot of trying to do a lot better at recycling, and what my question was about are some of the, I know you touched on small appliances a little bit, but something specific I was looking for is like,
And
diffuser.
I think, Melissa, we're having problems with hearing you. Melissa, you're breaking up. And I think your question has to do with recycling appliances like a humidifier. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good. Now you're clear. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was able to recycle it, but it cost me $30 to recycle it, and it costs less to buy a new one. Like, is there a better financial option for that?
Sarah, what would you suggest?
I'm glad you brought that up. We get that question a lot. There is often a cost to recycle some of those appliances, especially those that contain Freon and especially televisions, but some other electronics. The reason for the cost is the hazardous materials in them and all the careful handling that needs to happen. So in the case of a dehumidifier, the Freon needs to be handled appropriately so it doesn't escape into the environment. With televisions, like I mentioned, the leaded glass or the mercury in them can be a problem. I know it can be frustrating, especially, like you said, when it is a high cost. I know for the electronic side of things, that's something we continue to work with on the program. Manufacturers of TVs and computers and printers do help cover the cost, but it's not covering the full cost. And so that's why we have looked at some adjustments. There's also some legislation active right now in the state legislature to make some tweaks to the program. And we're hoping that somewhere down the road, a little bit more of that cost will be covered by the manufacturers for the electronics. For appliances, I think it's just it's always good to look a couple places, I guess, if you have options in your area and see, but there will generally be a cost for materials that contain hazardous substances that need to be handled properly.
And for some of these items, Sarah, you know, certainly the consumer, when they buy them, may not be thinking about when they are going to retire them. They're thinking when they're buying them about how to put them to use and what they need them for. So you're really having to think about the whole cycle here.
Right. And a lot of the stuff that people are trying to recycle can be really old, right? We still see those old console TVs that are like a piece of furniture, and people certainly weren't thinking about that when they bought that, maybe even 40 years ago. But it's a good thing to think about now. First of all, like I mentioned, with smaller devices that we're turning over more quickly, there may be some trade-in options. And then it is great to check with retailers that if you're buying something new from them, they may help with the recycling cost or a pickup of the old one. So it's good to keep that in mind. I know a lot of times we're trying to look for the best price. You know, we pick a particular model and they're looking for the best price, but it's good to think about some of those other things that aren't necessarily factored exactly into the price that include how it's going to be managed at the end of its life.
Let's bring in John in Jefferson. Hi, John. I understand you're a computer consultant.
That's right. And I think it's useful to think about why people hold on to their old personal devices and what they have to do in order to let them go. And in my job, I help a lot of consumers as well as small businesses. I help them rescue the data from an old computer. Even if the computer doesn't turn on anymore, the data on the hard drive is still there. And it can be rescued and copied to a thumb drive, and you can bring forward all those old movies and pictures that you took 15 or 20 years ago and save them. And then a computer consultant, if you take it to your local computer shop, we can erase the hard drive after the data is rescued. And then you know that you can hand it to the recycling system and that your data won't be revealed or let go to anybody else. In particular, I often bring old electronics, you know, apart from the big old tube TVs, I bring those to Goodwill and they will recycle them for you.
John, thank you so much for those insights. Sarah, first on the prepping of the electronics, as John is explaining, what would you like to add there about wiping off sensitive data?
Right. I think it's a very good point. I mean, the first step, I think, is to be aware of what contains data, and especially as that's changing. So now even TVs, you know, our smart home devices, lots of other devices may contain personal data. And so it's important to just, first of all, think about that when you're staring at your pile of electronics you need to recycle. Think about which ones have data on them. And then I think a lot depends on sort of your comfort level with technology. So as John mentioned, there's a lot of, especially computer shops, I think, you know, both large and small, that can offer help. For some smaller devices, there are factory resets that can help clear off data. And some programs that you might be able to do yourself if you're more comfortable. I was reading an article in the Washington Post recently where they were mentioning some specific programs recommended. And I can't vouch for those personally, but I think if you're comfortable with technology, you can do a little research and otherwise check with the professionals, both in terms of getting that data off, as John mentioned, and with wiping it. A responsible recycler should be doing that. They should be cleaning off data and shredding it because it's their reputation on the line too. But it's good to be safe, especially because, you know, you drop it off at the collection site and you want to make sure it's going to be safe, even if it's you know, going through a few different hands before it gets to the recycler itself.
Along those lines, Jeff from Monroe called, couldn't stay with us, and wonders what to do with computers and cell phones that might have that sensitive information on them. But, you know, Jeff says they can't power them up, can't turn them on. How does he know it's safe to get rid of them or wipe the hard drive?
Yeah, so I think if they can't be powered on, and you're very concerned about it, taking it to, say, a computer repair shop or an electronics retailer that provides that type of service is definitely an option. It's also a good place to ask questions for your local collection site. They may be able to give you a very detailed description of the security measures they take and the recycler, and may be able to satisfy any concerns you have about the data being handled safely. As I said, the big responsible recyclers take this very seriously. They also handle a lot of computers and phones from companies and education institutions and hospitals where there are legal requirements about handling data. So it's not to say that they aren't careful with it, but I know a lot of people want that extra peace of mind for themselves.
Sarah Murray is coordinator of eCycle Wisconsin. That's the statewide program helping people recycle their electronics. Taking your questions, have you recently recycled an old device? Maybe it was a computer or a tablet, maybe that old cell phone. Where did it go and where did you go to your collection site? 800-642-1234. Gerald is joining us from Rhinelander. Hi, Gerald. What is on your mind?
Batteries, you mentioned batteries a couple of times. If they're not lithium batteries, are there any particular guidance on, for instance, rechargeable batteries and that kind of thing? And I suppose I also have a question about the newer type light bulbs, fluorescent and other things.
Yeah. Gerald, thank you. First of all, are there any special recycling procedures required for non-lithium batteries, Sarah?
Yeah, I would really recommend folks check out the DNR's website. If you search for batteries, we have a household battery recycling guide. So what we tell people is the alkaline batteries, so sort of double A, triple A, C and D, if they say alkaline on them, you know they're alkaline, they are okay to go in the trash. You can recycle them, but you're likely going to have to pay to do so, and there's the sort of life cycle analyses I've seen are kind of mixed on environmentally if there's a benefit to recycling just plain alkaline batteries. Most other types of batteries, especially rechargeables, we do recommend folks recycle. The metals can be recovered, and not as much as lithium, but some of those other ones can cause fires if they're kind of mixed in with other trash or other things like that. One important thing, if you're like a lot of people and you put batteries in a container to store them until you can take them to a recycling spot, is to either put them in little individual baggies or tape the ends, because if the terminals of some of those rechargeable batteries come in contact, they can sometimes cause sparks as well.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of recycling locations, a lot of hardware stores will take them, a lot of battery stores. There's a program called Call to Recycle, the number 2 in there, that does a lot of battery collection. They provide boxes to a lot of locations to collect the batteries. They have a lot of information. So if you have battery questions, again, we have a guide on the DNR website, but I'd really recommend checking out Call to Recycle as well.
How about light bulbs? Any insights there?
Sure. So the curly compact fluorescent light bulbs, as well as fluorescent tubes, do contain mercury. So first of all, if one breaks in your home, you want to be careful about how you're handling it. You want to clean it up carefully, not use a vacuum cleaner, air out the room. There's some tips on our website. We have a page on recycling light bulbs as well. And so just to be careful if you have one that breaks. A number of retailers, again, hardware stores, some of the larger sort of home improvement retailers, will often take those back for recycling, as well as some local government drop-off sites. So check around in your area, maybe check with your local recycling program or your county to see what the options are. And again, you just want to store those very carefully if you're storing them in your home to avoid breaking and releasing that mercury. Some of the newer ones, the LEDs, mm-hmm. don't seem to have as many environmental issues. And so there's not quite the concern if you're breaking them. There may be recycling options for them. So I would check locally to see if local places take them specifically.
We're getting help on electronics recycling with Sarah Murray. She leads eCycle Wisconsin. That's the state-run recycling program through the DNR. What questions do you have about collection sites, about take-back programs, or what can't be recycled and why? Still time to talk about e-cycling, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Sarah Murray on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about how to correctly recycle old electronics with Sarah Murray. She's coordinator of eCycle Wisconsin. Americans, we throw out millions of cell phones every year. There are more than 10 million cell phones in Wisconsin households, not to mention more than 16 million TVs and computers. That's from eCycle Wisconsin, keeping up with the scale of e-waste. Still time to talk about what to do with old devices, 800-642-1234. And Sarah Murray is with us for about 10 more minutes. Sarah, circling back to the rules process and the rule changing going on, what does the next generation of eCycle Wisconsin look like? How do you see it changing?
Sure. Well, through the rules process, I think we're hoping in the state to have a more uniform process for handling electronics, whether it's specifically part of the manufacturer-funded program or not. As we've mentioned, that program is just for a certain list of electronics and only from households and schools. So we want to make sure that we're having all electronics, whether it came from a business, whether it's stereo or a digital camera, or one of the electronics that are specifically part of eCycle Wisconsin, that it's handled responsibly. So that's a big part of it. I think looking forward, not so much what we can tackle in our administrative rules, but what we might look for in the future is how can we adapt the law to handle all the new types of electronics, you know, the smaller electronics, the ones that are powered by batteries. When the law was passed, the big reason was, people may remember the big digital conversion where the old tube TVs were no longer going to work just on their own. And so it was a little more focused on those types of legacy devices. And those are still out there, but we want to make sure, you know, 10 years from now that we're adequately addressing the different types of electronics. A lot of the smaller electronics don't have the hazardous materials, but they may be a little bit more challenging to handle in the recycling stream because of all the personal data on them, because of the batteries. So I think the nature of how you take apart these things is going to keep changing, and the nature of how they need to be handled.
What is the timeline for the rules change, and how do lawmakers feel?
So the administrative rules process is something that's done by a state agency, in our case, the Department of Natural Resources. It does get sign-off from the governor and the legislature, but it's, you know, folks like me who are in the agency writing the language that's used to help implement the state statutes. So for this rule process, we're going to be having a public hearing at the end of the month, June 28th. Folks can find the information on our website, and then taking comments through July 7th, and then it'll go through a process probably for close to another year of getting approval from our Natural Resources Board and the governor and the legislature before it goes into effect. There's also a bill in the legislature that has passed the state Senate, being considered by the state assembly, that would make a couple different changes to the program, including allowing us to set up a grant program to improve electronics recycling infrastructure in underserved, especially rural parts of the state. And so that's sort of a separate timeline because it's something the legislature is doing to change the actual language of statutes in the state.
Well, perhaps along those lines, Tom from Madison called, couldn't stay with us. And Tom wonders if there could be a state-imposed amnesty program for electronics or a way to waive the fees for recycling as a way to get these devices properly disposed of in as many areas across the state as possible, Tom says.
Yeah, I guess one thing I'd like to say is that there is free recycling for a lot of devices. It's really primarily the TVs and in some cases the monitors we're talking about. So all of us that have those laptops and cell phones sitting in drawers, for those, the fee is probably less of a barrier. Most places will take those for free or a pretty small charge. It's more maybe the data on those. For the things like TVs, I think we're just hoping to continue the work. The program is set up to be sort of market-based. So manufacturers get a total number of pounds they need to help recycle, and then they're contracting with recyclers to help pay that cost. As we've seen, perhaps we've gotten rid of some of those bigger, older, heavier devices, we've seen the balance between what we need to recycle and what manufacturers are paying for start to, I guess, come more into balance. We used to be collecting millions of pounds more than manufacturers need to help pay for, and that's why we've seen a lot of the fees. So I'm hoping either just through economics or through continued work on the policy, we'll see some of those fees come down. I think the important part to remember is that this isn't taxpayer money going toward it. So it's either the people who use the devices paying for it and manufacturers helping to subsidize it. That's not to say that local governments are sometimes using some taxpayer funds for it, but our goal is to get it more toward where the cost of recycling is included in the price of the product, if that makes sense, either explicitly or implicitly, so that if I've used this TV, I am responsible along with the manufacturer who made it to help make sure it's handled properly at the end of its life. There's a lot of other players, but I guess that's the root of it, is we don't think that just society in general should be responsible for dealing with these devices. It should be more based on people who are using them and people who are manufacturing them, is the philosophy behind a law like this. It's sort of called product stewardship or extended producer responsibility.
We're discussing how we can recycle with electronic devices. At the core of this conversation, Sarah Murray leads eCycle Wisconsin, which is run through the DNR. Sarah, we haven't discussed at all schools and the role of electronic devices being recycled within schools. What can you say there?
Sure. So I guess one thing to keep in mind is for eCycle Wisconsin, it's covering households and schools. That doesn't mean that others don't have to recycle electronics. So it's very important, in some cases required, for schools and colleges and businesses and government agencies to recycle their electronics, both because of hazardous materials and because of data. The law is intended to help schools with that cost to some degree. So again, if they're able to use this program that gets some funding from manufacturers to recycle their electronics, the hope is it'll help them use a responsible recycler. For schools, it's really important that they are using somebody who's handling the data properly, especially sensitive student data. And actually the bill in the legislature would expand. So right now it's just K-12 public schools and a limited set of private, and it would expand it to all K-12 schools, public, private, charter, tribal, any type of K-12 school throughout the state. So hopefully that will help make sure these devices that we're all seeing more of, right? I know my first grader's got a Chromebook now, you know, so we want to make sure schools have responsible outlets for this material and it's not a huge burden on their budget.
If we don't stay on top of recycling our electronics as technology evolves in our world, what could it mean for our planet?
I think there's a couple things. I mean, we've touched on it. For the older legacy devices, there are hazardous materials we want to keep out of the environment. And so that's why, even though it may cost, it's really important to recycle that old tube TV or that first generation flat screen. A big reason to recycle, or if possible, reuse, and this gets to an earlier question you had of maybe not hanging on to these for quite so long, is it takes a lot of resources to make that new smartphone, right? It takes mining, it takes a lot of energy and water. And so if we're able to either use devices for longer ourselves or other people, or recover materials from them, it's a big impact in terms of reducing greenhouse gas emissions, lots of other environmental benefits. And so that's important. We're also seeing even national security coming into it with recovering, say, rare earth metals or materials for lithium batteries. I was just reading an article, you know, we're trying to move toward more and more, say, electric vehicles. You need to be able to make those batteries. And so we don't want to bury those valuable materials in a landfill. We want to sort of do what some people call urban mining and get those materials back into productive use.
Sarah, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Sarah Murray is coordinator of eCycle Wisconsin. And for disclosure, eCycle Wisconsin is a business sponsor of Wisconsin Public Radio. We have a link to the eCycle Wisconsin program at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.